If you have your Bibles today, would you open them to 1 Chronicles chapter 15? And we're going to begin with verse 25. And we're going to look at quite a few passages of Scripture, but we're going to begin with really the last two words in that verse. Now, this is one of the things that I want to make sure that you hear me say, understand, and realize what you're going to be asked to commit to do today. We're going to ask today we're actually starting our 3-1-5-1, praying for three people, learning one gospel presentation, inviting five, sharing the gospel with one person. We're actually kicking that off today. And one of the things that it is very important for us to realize is, whether we believe it or not, or whether we accept it or not, this is the work of the church. And so we're gonna make that commitment to do that. Now, I brought mine from Sunday school, and I want to make sure, if you didn't get some of these cards, You need to find some, and you need to realize that we're going to invite five people. We're going to pray about it. We're going to invite five people, and we're going to not invite them to come to a worship service, even though we want them to come. We want them to be involved in Sunday school. And so the idea is you're going to invite people to come to your Sunday school class. I can already tell you of the ones that the Lord laid on my heart, not all of them are coming to my Sunday school class. So if somebody shows up with my chicken scratch handwriting and they walk in your class with a card, you'll know that the Lord answered that. So keep that in mind. So we're going to look today at the second part of this message from 2 Chronicles. And we're going to look at a group of individuals that set out to do something for the Lord. They got the Lord's permission. They went out to do what God had told them to do, but they forgot to do it the way the Lord said to. And if you've ever been there and done that, you know what it's like. So that started out, it was really good, and then it ended really bad because they forgot to seek the Lord. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, just join me in prayer as we go to the Lord's Word. Father God, as we bow before you today, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just walk up and down the aisles of this church, Lord, these chairs, this pulpit. And God, I pray that each one of us that's here today will realize that we're here for a reason. God, we're here because you want to do something in our hearts, and Lord, you want to do something through our lives. And so, God, I pray that today would not be about our lame excuses, but God, I pray that today would be about your power, about your glory, about your might, about what you want to do, and what only you are able to do. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you look at 1 Chronicles, if you look at chapter 15, if you look at verse 25, they have gone out, they've gotten the ark, they brought it back. The man died, if you remember from last week. They went through the whole process. Somebody said, well, let's look at what the law says. So they opened up the law. They found out how that they were supposed to do these things. They set out to do them. And I want you to look at the last two words of verse 25. I'll read the verse, but I want you to join me in those last two words. It says, David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over the thousands went to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord back to the house. Back from the house of Obed-Edom. And what are those last two words? With joy. Now, I want to ask you something. If you were to have to describe your service to the Lord, in other words, we're just going to have to say, this is my service to, would you say, I serve the Lord with joy? I would hope that you do. I would hope that you could. Look at verse 12 of chapter 15. I'm going to do a real quick review, and then we're going to get going here. If you look at that what he said to them, they had started out with the ark, the man died, they left it, they went back to get it, and this is what he said. He said in verse 12, and he said to them, you are the heads over your father's houses of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. And because you did not do it the first time, it's very important. You didn't do it right the first time. The Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of the God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now, I know we looked at that last week, but what's important is that you realize that last week they started out to do something. They had a national prayer meeting, and boy, everybody was in agreement. They asked God, and God was in agreement, but they forgot to consult him about how things should be done. This guy winds up dying. So now they go back, and they say, let's do this right. Now, can I just be honest with you? We have to acknowledge that we live in a time, in a nation, where the Church of Jesus Christ is dying. I mean, statistically, it is. I know if you live in Rankin County and there are 62 just Southern Baptist churches plus all the other denominations, you must look around and say the church is doing fine. But statistically, the church in America is dying at an alarming rate. Not at a slow rate, at an alarming rate. And we're going to look around one day and there's not going to be anybody left. And I want to offer to you that the only reason that can be true is because we're doing the right thing, we're just not doing it the right way. And I want to offer to you that when we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're going to look at these things in the Old Testament. We're going to move to the New Testament. And we're going to look at what we are supposed to be doing and what we have to ask ourselves. If we're doing what God said in a way that God said, then why isn't what God promised happening? And then that will bring us to a point where each one of us has to examine our own lives. Now, if you look at verse 25 there, the last two words are with joy. And what we have to realize is that if we're doing what God wants us to do in a way that He wants us to do it, then we're going to do it with joy. But we also have to realize, if you look down at verse 29, they're bringing that ark in. Boy, everybody, the whole entire nation is having a worship service all at one time together. And verse 29 says, "And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart." So, if you look at that, I think the key word to understanding why that verse is there is Saul's daughter. And what we have to realize is there is always a strong desire to hold on to the past. Can we acknowledge that? But the problem is the past is gone. And we can't live there. And so what she had to do, she got mad. She despised. She was upset because everybody else is having church. Everybody else is worshiping the Lord as a nation. And she's mad. And basically it's because it's not doing it the old way. Now, look in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to go down through here and we're going to look at what happened after they brought the ark back, after this joyous celebration takes place. David writes these words, and I want you to see with me pretty quickly the six things that happen when we serve the Lord with joy. The first thing is going to be in worship. Verse 8 says, he's writing this, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Man, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Do you know that so many times we don't give God His due? So many times we don't tell people what God has done for us. Look at Psalms 145 on the screen. These words are amazing in the Bible. He just simply says, "I will extol you, my God. O King, I will bless your name forever and ever." Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." That means we don't even know how great God is. Now, you look at that and you say, well, if we don't know how great God is, why don't we talk about Him more, right? Why aren't we doing this every day? Psalms 150, verse 6, just simply says, "Let everything that has breath sit in church and stare at a screen." Huh? Let everything that has breath sit in a Sunday school class. Praise the Lord. Man, praise the Lord. I love this expression. It's not original with me, but man, it's never more true than when it's used in worship. But you know, attitude determines altitude. I mean, it does. And man, if you just focus on who God is and you focus on what God has done and you focus on what God has made available to us, and then just to think about, wow, we have an opportunity just to know Him. The next thing it says there is to call on Him. And the idea is that we call on God by name. And when we call on Him, He answers. But you know, not everybody will call on the Lord. Have you ever had to make an embarrassing phone call? I'm going to tell y'all something that's really embarrassing that happened to me and my dearly beloved. We started out the door going somewhere. We're having this conversation, and one of us says to the other one, "Let's go in this car because it has gas." I had to call our son and ask him to come get us off the side of the road with a gas can. I felt like I was calling my dad to confess that I had bent his car. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I felt like a teenager again, you know, because I just didn't want to call. We were sitting on the side of the road going, who are we going to call? I said, well, I don't know. There's not but one person we can call. You know, we got to have to call. I don't want to call you. Call. I don't want to call you. Call. Going to get a witness? And he came with a gas can, and we're here as living proof. He didn't leave us sitting there. What was really funny is he showed up and said, I want to ask you some questions that I'm not going to ask. So, and like a teenager, I wanted to give him excuses that wasn't going to hold up anyway. So we just kind of skipped that and put the gas in the car and went on. Oh, I owe him that gas, by the way. I'm glad I talked about that in church. But you know what? Sometimes you just don't want to make the call. Sometimes it's easier to not make the call. But you know what? When we call on the Lord, Jeremiah 33. Can you put it up there, please? Jeremiah 33. Oh, when we call on the Lord says, even if it doesn't pop up on the screen, there it comes. The Lord says, who made it? The Lord who formed and established it. The Lord is his name. And look at this. Call to me, and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Listen, I want to encourage you today, man, call on the Lord. Be willing to do that. And that's what we're going to do with this 3151. That's what I'm doing. You'll have to decide for yourself. But I'm asking you to join with me, and let's call on the Lord to radically change this church, to radically change this county as God's work is done, as we do the very thing that the verse says, make his deeds known among the people. Tell of all his wondrous works. Listen, the greatest thing that you can say about God is that he is God, that he loves us. Yes, those things are true. But you know what? What about the difference that he makes in our life? What about the things about us that's no longer the same? What about the transformation that's taking place as we seek the Lord? The second one is that where joy is found is in seeking him. Look at verse 10 of chapter 16. The Bible says the glory in his name, and that word is really a word that was used by the Levites, and it really means to shout. But to shout, to glory in his name, not in ourselves, not what we've done, but glory in him. And it said, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And that word seek means to seek someone's presence. But the next word in verse 11, where it says to seek the Lord in his strength, that is through the word. When you study your Bible, that's what that seeking is, looking to know God. And then it says, seek his face evermore. You know, it's interesting to me to think about one of the great indicators of the joy in our life is the direction in which we're headed. I personally, you know, everybody's going to have to speak for themselves. But when I look back at my life, when I see myself going toward the Lord God Almighty, I see myself totally different as when I'm fleeing from the Lord God Almighty. When I know what God wants me to do, I'm not only seeking his face, I'm seeking his direction through his word. It's astounding and amazing. But the best biblical definition of what this means to me is to look at the other side of it. Anybody in here familiar with a man named Jonah in the Bible? Would you put the verses up there, please, from Jonah chapter 1? This is 2 and 3. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah said, not me, cat, I'm not doing it, right? He fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. And he went down into it to go with them to Tarsus. And the key is from the presence of the Lord. He was determined to get as far away from God as he possibly could. He was determined he was not going to do what God said. And if you can understand the fleeing, then you can understand the seeking. Because when a person is seeking God, they're going toward him. And obviously when they're fleeing him, they're going away from him. Now, if you look at verse 12, it says verse 12 and verse 15 starts out with the word remember. And listen, there is a great joy that is found in remembering what the Lord has done. And verse 12 says, remember his marvelous works. Verse 15 says, remember his covenant. And I'm going to ask you something. Can you honestly in your heart, as you sit here today, I know sometimes you have to think about it. Somebody asks you a random question. It takes you a minute to kind of get going. But if you were to actually write this, if you were going to say, I want you to remember God's marvelous works, and I'm going to write this for my family members, do you know what you'd put? And if you're going to write about his covenant, do you know about the covenant of the Lord, what it means to be in right relationship with him through his covenant? I want to give you just a couple of verses to consider if you ever even thought about doing it. The first one is in Luke chapter 22, verse 20. It says, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, when the Bible uses the word blood, a lot of times today, if they were translating that, they would translate it, my life. Jesus said, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my life, which is shed, which is laid down for you. Now, this is amazing. Can you imagine that the Lord God of the universe wants to have a relationship with us so bad that he is actually willing to take on the form of a man and live a sinless life and die to pay a debt that I owe so that I can be in a right relationship with him. That's what it means to be in a covenant with God. If you believe Jesus' words, if you just take them at what he said, then you understand that God loves us so much. He wants to have a covenant relationship with us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, there are so many people that think God is mad at them. But the Bible says in verse 9, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. And I love that word because the word long-suffering means he never gets tired of us. We never come to God and he never says to us, I already told you. He never is long-suffering toward us. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does God want us to do based on that verse today? Repent. That's exactly right. God does not want us to perish. God does not want us to die in our sins. God wants us to come to the place of being willing to turn from our sins and turn to him. Now, I don't know about you, and everybody will have to answer for themselves, but if you ask me, there's no greater words in the Bible. Isn't it good to know that God in heaven is not against us? Isn't it good to know that God in heaven is not saying, I already told you about that, and I'm not telling you anymore? God is long-suffering. When we come to him, he hears us. When we come to him in repentance, he honors that. And then in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know why Jesus came? Jesus didn't come for himself. He came to seek people like me, to save people like me, and to find people like me. And when we know that, it makes tell someone the greatest joy in the whole wide world. To be able to say to people who do not believe that God is long-suffering, the people that actually think I've gone too far, I've done too much, not even God can forgive me. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the devil says. But that's not what God says. And so what we then have to ask ourselves then, if God is long-suffering, how long-suffering? I don't know. Repent. That's all that matters. Right? Turn. Find out. Allow God to work in your heart. Allow God to move in your life. And then remember that God wants to do that. And then we're going to start into the invitation now. If you look at verse 23, it's going to be a long one, so don't start putting your stuff up. But those first three joys, everybody's like, woohoo, that's good stuff. You know, it's about what God did. All about it. Now we're going to flip over to the joy for us. And in verse 23 and following, we'll see that joy is found in proclaiming the good news. Verse 23 says, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. In other words, every day we ought to be telling somebody about the good news of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. So also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of this people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Now listen, if we believe that, If we believe those verses in the Bible, then we're obligated to tell people the truth about the state of their soul. And I just want to say, I use this all the time, but I just want to say, if you had the cure for cancer and you refused to share it with somebody, and every day somebody else died and somebody else died and somebody else died, and you're sitting over at your house going, I got the cure for that. I got the cure for that. I know what to do about that. I know how to stop that. And you never told anybody. Do you know what would happen when the rest of us found out you had the cure for cancer and didn't tell anybody? Right? And what we have to realize is, not only do we have the cure for the disease that ultimately every person that's ever lived has, the more we give the cure away, guess what? The more of it we have. Right? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand because it's not a trick question. The answer is going to be put up here. And we have to have an honest talk about something. Statistically, 90% of Southern Baptists live their entire life and never share their faith. All right? Are you with me? Now, notice what I said. I said 90% of, did you catch the two words? Southern Baptist. I didn't say blood-bought children of the king. I said 90% of Southern Baptist. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I ain't going to do it. I don't care what he said, and I don't care how many stories he tells, I ain't going to do it. Would you put the verses up, please? Beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, hey, anybody in Christ in here today? Me, woo-hoo. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then verse 18. Now, that's when you become a new creation and the old things have passed away. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So I would like to ask you, how is your ministry of reconciliation going? Right? You say, I don't have a ministry of reconciliation. When I say that, then I can't say I've been made a new creation. Amen? So if I'm going to say I'm a new creation, then what comes with being a new creation is the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 19, he tells us what it is. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we've been given the work, the ministry, the work of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation. In verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I love that word ambassador. It means a king's representative in a foreign land. In other words, we're on earth doing the business of heaven. We're ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Does the word implore, compel, do those words think that we're supposed to be active sharing, are supposed to be passive when it comes to sharing the gospel? We're supposed to be imploring people, begging them, hey, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now I want to ask you, when we talk about the 3151, The one is to share the gospel with one person. And I want to ask you today to make the commitment that you're going to share the gospel with the person in this world that you love most, that you're not sure of their salvation. Right? You think about who that person is, and you think about the person you're just not sure of their salvation. And you make the commitment that you're going to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day to them. When you look at verse 28, the joy is found in giving. The Bible says, give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. And the world also is firmly established, and it shall not be moved. You know, the idea here is when they were worshiping the Lord, you'd never go before the king empty-handed. And David is saying, look, not only do you need to tithe, but you need to give that offering. You need to bring your gift when you come before the Lord. And when a person tithes, that 10%, when you give that tithe, you're just acknowledging that God owns everything. But when you give an offering, you're acknowledging that God needs, that God should be worshiped above everything. And I want to encourage you to understand that this is a command that we are to give to the Lord. And until we give and until we're doing what God wants us to do with our possessions, we'll never be blessed by them. Look at number 6, the joy brings rejoicing. It says, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. And let all of them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that it is. And then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to you, your holy name, in triumph and in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen. Now, we moved through that pretty quick, and I wanted to go through that because I wanted you to realize that they had started out, and they were going to do the right thing for the right reason. But they did the right thing, but they did it the wrong way, and it resulted in a death. And so they go back, and they set things back the way that they should be so that they can go forward. And what I would like to do now is I would like for us to go into a very extended invitation. But the invitation is going to give you a right, an opportunity to respond to what the Lord God is saying to us today. So when we get started on this, the very first thing, I probably have mentioned this verse probably 6 out of the last 7 Sundays. I don't know that for absolute sure. But you know, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Samuel confronts Saul about his sin, and Saul says, I was afraid of the people. And Samuel says something to Saul that I really want us to talk about. And that is, Samuel says to Saul, listen, says your sin of stubbornness, he said, is as iniquity and idolatry. In other words, Saul knew what to do. Saul knew exactly what to do, but he wouldn't do it. And Samuel referred to it as stubbornness. But this is the part I want to bring out. He said it's as iniquity. And when you read in your Bible, iniquity is a generational sin. Iniquity is the worst word that's used in the Bible for sin. And this is what I would like to offer to you, and you will have to kind of either agree or disagree. But you know what's wrong with the church today, in my humble opinion? Stubbornness, yes. That's the sin of the church. And the sin of the church is stubbornness, which is resulting in iniquity, and iniquity is a generational sin, and because iniquity is a generational sin, the church in America is contracting, while the church in Africa and Asia is absolutely exploding. I mean, absolutely exploding. It's astounding you read what's happening in the church and the rest of the world. But in America, it's dying. And I offer to you that statistically, the reason the church is dying is ultimately the sin of stubbornness. And it's the sin of iniquity. And what's happening is we won't do what we know to do. Now, if I were to ask, I'm not asking, don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask, does anybody here think that Christians today are not supposed to share the gospel? Everybody knows we're supposed to share the gospel. But the problem is nobody does it. And so this is a good way for us to be engaged in this process. Now, the second thing is, remember Acts 1:8? What did Jesus say? When the Spirit comes on you, what's going to happen? On power. That's right. And you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And this, we say we're Holy Spirit filled people, right? We say that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but what do we never get around to doing? We never get around to being that witness. And I offer to you that because of that, we got the wrong thing in the wrong place. And I want you to watch this video. It's going to be about 3 minutes. And what you're going to see is you're going to hear this guy say something that I've been trying to say for 14 years as a pastor of this church. And maybe if he says it, maybe we can understand it. Do you have the video, Tim? Amen.
What is not the self-indulgent immorality that surrounds us in our culture, but the self-sufficient mentality that plagues us in the church?
Come on.
That is hindering the advancement of the gospel in the world.
Amen.
Exodus 33 has been a text. I actually preached this text. I'm going to do my best not to try to preach a whole sermon. It's like we don't have enough information to cover it.
All right, when you look at this, you should have gotten one of these last week. We can get you one. This lays out for you as plainly as possible the 3151 challenge. As a matter of fact, if you open this thing up, it has a place right here for you to actually write the names of the three people that you're going to be praying for. Just above that, it has the seven scriptures that you can pray so that you can be able to pray scripturally for people. It has a gospel presentation in here if you're not comfortable sharing your own story, then you can do that. Then you have the cards that you should have gotten in Sunday school today that has the names for the five people that you can invite. It'll actually give you the opportunity to put that in their hand. And then you're going to go and share the gospel with somebody. But this is what I would honestly like to ask you. Do you know what would happen if everybody in this room actually were willing to stop playing church, to stop doing all the church stuff, and make the commitment that I'm going to do this for the glory of God. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to get my heart right before the Lord. If I have something in my life that's not pleasing to Him, I'm going to get rid of it. And I'm going to 100% commit this to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you realize that in 1 month, on November the 6th, when we end this, do you realize your family won't be the same? A lot of them will be saved. Some of them, heart will be a little harder, but we'll continue to pray for them. This is not the last outreach we're going to do. Right? But you imagine how different this church would be? And I want to tell you something. In my prayer is that God would radically change Grace Baptist Church as we do what God has told us to do. Now, this is where it's like, sometimes we want to tell God what to do. Is that like too much honesty? You want me to turn it down a little bit, or is that? But sometimes we want to tell God what to do. And I can honestly tell you that in the years that I've been the pastor of this church, I have prayed of more than once. I don't want to pick a number because I'm trying to be completely honest. And I've asked God about us having a soul harvest revival. And God says the same thing to me every single time, to the point I finally stopped praying about it. You know what He says every time? I want y'all to do it. That's what He says every time. I want y'all to do it. I'm glad He didn't say, I want you to do it. I'm glad that He speaks Southern English and says y'all, right? I'm glad He speaks Southern. God wants us to do this. Right? As a matter of fact, I'll even go back and confess. When we had the other Sunday school soul winning day back in June, that was God. That was not me. And so what we have to realize is God wants us to do this, but God wants us to do it in His power. All right? Now, we're going to go into the invitation, and what the call today is, if you are willing to commit to this process, all you have to simply do is write your name on the card and then bring it up here to the altar. If you're not fleet of foot, sign your card and give it to somebody else. Right? You don't have to walk down here. You just participate in the worship service today by signing the card, bringing it to the altar. Now, here's the second part, last part of the invitation. Nobody in this room knows what this is. But I'm going to tell you, this is my paint shirt, right? Now, I want to talk to the ladies in here. Do y'all get tired of your husbands messing up 10 sets of clothes every day? All right. Well, my wife got so tired of me getting paint on my clothes that she told me I should have a paint shirt. So I've had this shirt for, 10 plus years. This has been my paint shirt. And the reason I bring my paint shirt to church today, this is what I look like when I paint, by the way. The reason I bring my paint shirt to church is I was going to the paint store Friday. Look, if you're going to the paint store, you need to put your paint shirt on, right? And when I put this shirt on, I had this thought. They're going to think I'm a painter. That was my thought. And I went to the paint store to buy some paint. And you know what that guy was calling me? A paint contractor. He wanted to know what job I wanted to put my paint on. And you know why he was doing that? Right? I'm not a paint contractor. Some of you have asked me over to your house to help you paint one time. I don't know why. Right? Is it possible we just look like Christians? Because we wear our Sunday clothes. We go to that Sunday place. We sit in the Sunday school. And when people look at us, they go, well, he must be a Christian. Look at him. But I'm not a paint contractor. Ask my wife. Right? Is it possible? That's why we won't share the gospel. Is it possible that's why we don't care? We hope they're saved, but we don't think it's our business. You know why? Right? Outwardly, pain contract. Inwardly, I ain't no pain contract. Never thought about being a pain contract. Don't want to be a pain contract. Almost wish I hadn't started what I did now. Right? Right? And a whole bunch of you are sitting there going, oh my goodness, why didn't I go to Cross Gates today? Christian, committed, determined, stay in the fight, do what the Lord said, or pain contract. Right? Now, one would think, if we're honest, somebody would say, I really don't want to be a paint contractor or a pretend Christian. I really want to surrender my life to the Lord in true righteousness and true holiness. And I truly want to live the life that God saved me to live. But the first decision you got to make to live that life is you've got to make the decision you're not going to tell God what you can't do or what you won't do. And you're not going to tell him what he can't do. Remember that expression in Sunday school today? The confession is Jesus is Lord. The confession wasn't Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. That means that God's over everything. And when Jesus Christ is first, foremost, and above all in our life, we're going to want to do what his word said. So we're going to go into a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you if you will. And wouldn't you know it, I have to confess everything. Found a pencil. Whew, my name's not on my card. I was about to say, I'm at the bar of somebody's pen. I got one. Thank you. I'm sorry. I got a pencil there. I thought you was bringing your card. I was going to say, whew, normally my invitations don't go like that. Now I found a pen. One fell out of heaven. How much longer are we going to just play church? We're going to pray. We'll sing. Bring it. Send it. Whatever you want to do. Pass it to somebody on the end of the row. There's nothing about walking down here and laying a card down that's spiritual, holy, or righteous, and it's not anywhere in the Bible. Because I don't want you to bring a card down there. I want you to get right with God. I want us to get right with God. And then I want to make the commitment. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that all of us who are gathered here, Lord, God, I pray that we would realize what an opportunity that we have, Lord, to serve you. God, there are people sitting home right now wondering, does anybody care about them? Does anybody love them? Does anybody care about their plight, about their lot in life? And the answer is, yes, Lord, you do. And God, I pray that we will be determined, Lord, that we're going to stand before people on Judgment Day with a clear conscience. We're going to tell them what Jesus has done. We're going to tell them what you've said. And we're going to tell them what you offer. And then, God, they're going to have to do with it what they choose. If they say that they believe but yet live an unrighteous lifestyle, then, Lord, they'll have to take that up with you. But, God, we want people to know the truth, and we want them to be able to live that truth out. And, God, I pray that as we go into this time of invitation, we will realize, Lord, we could do anything next week, Lord, over the next couple of weeks. We could work on big projects. We could find oil on our property. We could do any of a number of things. But God, I pray that as we go into this invitation, we'll answer the question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So God, I pray that you would stir us, God. I pray that you would move us. And Lord, I want to pray a special prayer for the person that's sitting there going, I don't care what he says, I ain't doing it. Lord, if they call themselves a Christian, I pray that you would speak specifically to their heart, Lord. And I pray that you would just show them, give them a glimpse of your glory, what could be if, Lord, those of us that are called by your name would just completely surrender our lives to you, serve you above all else, and then watch you move as just one by one you start to save our friends and our family. Let them know the truth of the gospel. Let them know the freedom from sin. Let them know what it means to serve you every day. Lord, we love you and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, as always, this altar's open. If something you need to pray about with the Lord, you take this time to do that. If you need to make a public decision, I will be glad to receive you in that. But otherwise, if the Lord has laid it on your heart and you just want to do this as a public commitment to the Lord, I want you to come, bring those cards, and when we get through, we're going to just have one last prayer before we do our announcement. So, Ryan, will you lead us in our invitation, please?
Stand as we respond to the Lord this morning together.
Apart. We yield ourselves to all your commands. We consecrate our days. Take our lives, let them be. Take our wills, make them yours. Come fill our hearts with your songs of praise. By your blood we have been redeemed. By your mercy you have set us free.
Lacey Wynn, and Lacey came today, and she wants you to know that she has confessed that Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior. She has received the Holy Spirit, and it is her desire to follow through in baptism. So we're very, very excited about that today, and, you know, that's how the Lord works. And Samantha, what's your brother's name?
Zachary.
Is he going to mind if I say his name in church? Ha ha, just kidding. But Zachary lives at Bay Springs, drives... At Pilahatchee, good. Drives to Lumen and gets Lacey, and they come to church. Now, that's a great example for 3151 right there. So we are very excited about this decision that Lacey's made, and obviously we're going to make sure that she completely understands baptism and church membership. And so we'll be moving forward with her, looking forward to seeing them in Sunday school, and then we're going to help her, and we're going to do what the Bible says that we're supposed to do so that she can do what the Bible says that she's supposed to do. So once church is over, I want you to come by, give her the right hand, Samantha, come up here. And Zachary, you can come too. But give her the right hand of Christian fellowship. Let her know that you're going to be praying for her as we walk forward in this. Hey, the announcement that I want to make is that right over here, we're going to have a Sunday school teachers meeting, children, youth, adults, Sunday school teachers. We're going to meet right over here. It's going to be a fairly brief meeting. That's why we're going to go ahead and do that at this time. And then the other thing is, we started Wednesday night. I call it the People Seminary. That's the vision that the Lord gave me. And we had a lot of people. I wasn't actually technically prepared for as many people. But if you'll come back Wednesday night, I'm going to be prepared with more stuff. And so we had a great group of people, but we're gonna do what the Lord said, and we're going to really get after it and have a lot of learning. So if you came, make sure you do your homework before you come back for our Wednesday night. And Angela, you want to make an announcement, and then we're going to close us out with prayer.
Hi, Bible drill will be starting soon. Miss Leslie Taylor is going to be doing the children, and Miss Laura and Miss Tish and I are going to be working with the youth. The youth start this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and I encourage you, parents, get your youth here. If they don't want to drill, that's okay, but they're going to hide God's word in their heart, and we're going to have lots and lots of fun this year and learn lots of things about God, grow closer to each other, grow closer to God. And so I just encourage you, bring your youth out at 6 o'clock, and we'll see you then, 6 to 6:30.